We'll call the special meeting to order on December 4th at 6:45 PM.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll call Grandaw here. Idlewild.
Here.
Cherry.
Here.
Gracie.
Here.
Hanson.
Here.
Roman.
Here.
All right, number four, approval of the agenda.
I make a motion.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Lyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Five, information discussion. A.
All right, so we're kind of lumping these two together. So we have the resolution authorizing the issuance and sale of the $10 million bond, anticipation of the note pursuant to section 67.12 sub 1 sub B, and then also the resolution authorizing the issuance of the portion of and establishing parameters for the sale of not to exceed $25 million general obligation promissory notes. So we have Brian Brewer from Baird here, and he is going to tell us what that all means. Earlier this week when I met with him, I told him to explain it to me like a five-year-old, and he did a great job. So if I can understand it, I think anyone can, because this stuff is complicated. But Brian,
well, you're first off, congratulations. Successful referendum, and it's not an easy process, especially since you've been debt-free as a school district for many years. It's hard to get the community back in the mode of, oh yeah, we need to invest in our facilities to extend the useful life and get more use out of it. So congratulations on that. As Kelly mentioned, I'm going to summarize and kind of walk through the high level. The theme, though, is the timing is looking very good. Like the way we're ultimately taking what's going well in the market and maximizing it for the taxpayer. So the reason you have a couple of different resolutions in front of you is trying to position you to maximize that benefit such that when you get finished with the scope of work, you can ideally have some dollars left over to either finish out the projects with some additional equipment that maybe you didn't think would fit in the budget, or you use anything excess to pay down the debt. So we'll pay it off quicker than what we were anticipating. So that's kind of the backdrop. So I gave you the handout. I can walk through on the slides. I don't know which one's more comfortable to look at. Probably since we're like this, let's flip through here. And if I need to point at stuff up there, I'll do that. So tonight the goal is just walking through where interest rates are, just an update. You know, there's two types of rates that we're going to be talking about throughout this process. One is your borrowing rate. So that's, you know, just like our home mortgage. Like when you finance the project long term, we're going to lock in a rate for 20 years. So once that's locked in, it's fixed. So rate, it can't change unless you choose to refinance it to lower it. So that's kind of the second resolution that's getting you ready for locking in the first portion of the financing long term. The other rate that we're going to talk about is your reinvestment rate. So once you borrow this $29 million, it's going to go into a project account, and it's going to sit there, and you can earn interest monthly until you spend out the dollars over the next 18 to 24 months. And so that's more specifically the sheet I'm going to talk about is why we're doing $10 million of the $29 million yet in December. So that's kind of more related to the first resolution, okay? So we'll talk about the plan, we'll talk about the timeline, and then look at the actual resolutions. So this first slide, the rate slide, so this one is a chart that I use effectively in every meeting I go to when we're talking about a borrowing. Actually, I think I use it in some of the referendum presentation slides. But I like it because I look at this every day, but most people I'm talking to do not, right? And so this is a 30-year, the bottom chart is a 30-year snapshot of where daily municipal borrowing rates, 20-year fixed rate borrowing rates are in the market. And so in and of itself, the line doesn't tell you anything, but If you break this apart and you look in the middle, this was the Great Recession, this spike in the middle. And then effectively for the last 15 years since then, we've been setting new historical lows. The most recent and the most abnormal was during the pandemic. That's when you see the rates in 20 through roughly 22. You would have to go back to pre-World War II before you'd see rates that low. So yes, rates have come up a bit since then, but historically speaking, on a 30-year basis, which encompasses this building, during this time period, you financed and paid off this building. You know, so when you locked in those rates, it would have been back in here, and it would have been, you know, probably 5% and 6%. We're looking at finalizing some projects that from November referendums coming up, and it's looking like 4, 4.25 right now. So if we can do that, we're going to be coming in better than what you communicated as part of your estimates to voters pre-referendum. So we're, and this is what I'm talking about, like post-election, like pre-election rates had been lower, post-election rates moved higher, and then now that we're heading into December and January, rates are moving back lower, which is ultimately what we want to have happen leading up to the time you lock in your 20-year. Okay. So while that's happening, this next page is happening at the same time. So the blue line is the same blue line I just showed you. So that's the 20-year borrowing rate. The purple, I picked a 2-year U.S. Treasury rate as an example of an investment rate, right? So right now, your investment rates, if you think about it, like in your own lending, would you want a higher rate of return if you're lending for 20 years? Or 2 years, right? So you're giving up your money, access to your money for longer, so you want a higher rate of return. There have been only 5 periods of time in the last 30 years where the short rate is higher than the long rate. You know, you're able to invest at a higher earnings rate than what your 20-year borrowing rate is, which is abnormal. So with that as the backdrop, we want to try and lock in as much of that earnings and allow you to keep as much of those earnings as we can. So this visual in this environment is key to why we're doing a short-term note to get you $10 million for that project account on December 19th, I think is what mm-hmm. we scheduled. Because that then allows you to go invest in some kind of short and safe investment, a U.S. Treasury, like a 6-month, a 9-month, a 12-month, an 18-month, and or a local bank CD that's insured by FDIC, right? It's going to be safe and short is kind of the priority. But in this environment, safe and short is still paying you 4-something%.
And technically, because of the length of the project, right, we won't need that $10 million till toward the end.
Correct.
Right, the $25 million gets us enough to get 24 months or 30 months into this project before we need that $10 million.
Correct.
Right?
So ideally, yes. So
yep.
you didn't. I don't know how you focus.
Because
on
I'm the village president, and okay. I just did a $3.2 million GO.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So strategically, you take this $10 million yes. and invest it 18 to 24 months because the second resolution is saying not to exceed $25 million. That means I'm coming back to borrow the next 15. So we'll spread that 15 over the first 18 months. Mm-hmm. And then you have the final 4 that won't happen until 2026. But yes, strategically you have exactly where I'm going. Yeah. I was trying to explain it.
She's got it already.
Yep.
Well, so then my other question is like, If so we do this and say we have $4 million left, right? And we don't have to wait till 2026 if interest rates go like way lower than anticipated.
So let me get to that for a second.
Sorry. Yep.
So
we do.
So
we do
the maximizing and keeping the earnings, the federal government knows that they're lending to the school district tax exempt status, allowing you to borrow below market. Right? So they're basically effectively subsidizing the local project through offering the investors that are going to lend you the money the income that you're going to pay them, the interest, they don't have to pay federal tax. So they'll take a lower rate of return because they don't have to pay tax on it. So that subsidizes it locally. They know that if this environment happens, you, the school district, could take advantage of or abuse the fact that you can borrow low and invest high, and they don't want you to do that. They give you a small window to do it. One of the ways, one of the exceptions to that window is if you borrow $15 million or less in a calendar year. So that's why this one's $10 million. The 2024 portion is $10 million. The 2025 that's in resolution two is 15. So ultimately, one of the trade-offs of this is that, yes, I would have to wait until like November of 25 to close in January of 26. Like, I have to close after January 1. So effectively, we are saying you're not going to borrow that final $4 million until 26. But you'll see how I'm structuring the repayment. I'm trying to minimize the impact. First of all, it's only $4 million out of 29, but right. I'm going to pay off a bunch of it right away, so that even if rates happen to go up, you're paying it off first, most of it off first.
Okay.
So we've thought through that part as well. So that's kind of the macro strategy of how and why we're breaking apart 10, 15, and 4. Okay. So if we flip to the next page, I've kind of talked about some of this stuff already, but this is
10, 15. The 25 is the 10 and the 15 together.
Yeah, because this 10 is only short term.
Yep.
So I'm ultimately, from a cost and access of the market, the paperwork that Kelly and Sarah have to do, well, and the board signatures, but I'm trying to time those two together.
That big packet right there?
Right. Mm-hmm. There'll be more each time we do this. But, but ultimately, it's efficient, more efficient to sell to the market 25 at once versus a 10 and then wait, you know, a month or two and then do another 15. So that's why this is saying a combined total of 25. So ultimately, the goals of the plan are to meet or beat the $1.33 estimated impact for the debt. Minimize the total interest cost, the borrowing cost. Minimize the interest rate risk, which is what we were just talking about with the $4 million. Yeah. So you'll see that I'm trying to pay off a larger portion of that early. There's one piece that goes out to 2046, so that is going to be what it's going to be. But we'll work to minimize the risk on that one. And then try to maximize the earnings, because that's what gives you your choice 24 months from now to finish scope of work. Or one version is you may not need $4 million, all that $4 million. You could choose to borrow less. That's another choice by leaving it out there. So it really kind of depends on when you get the bidding results from your bid packages for the project.
Okay, one more silly question. So because of the way we wrote the referendum, it was for elementary school and tech ed, right? If we end up with more money than we need for the project, is that money that we earn in interest still committed to those two projects? Because it is committed.
There is language at the bottom of the ballot question that says, or other site improvements or furniture, fixtures, and equipment. Like, it's more general.
Okay.
You'll want it to be related to what you were surveying, just from a public perception standpoint.
Like, we wouldn't want to build a new weight room with that money, right?
I mean, unless it was within the scope of the wording.
Attached to the tech ed department.
You'll know what hot button issues there are. Right? Okay. So there is latitude with getting maybe a little bit further down your list. Okay. Yeah. But you just don't want to do something that is entirely not, you know, or especially something you said you won't be doing. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, that yeah, would, that was be, one of the surveys.
Yeah, that'd be something you don't think next year clear of.
Yeah. Okay.
So we will have to go out and get a credit rating assigned to the district. I look back at your previous debt for this building, and there wasn't an underlying rating. There was a bond insurance that wrapped it and had a AAA rating. In today's environment, we will likely use bond insurance again. But I'd like to get an underlying rating, because I believe you, as you know, with your growth in the property value and the fact you're debt-free, I think you'll probably either get in this A-plus or AA-minus range, which is where the majority of Wisconsin school districts are. So we'll go through our process with that. When you accessed the market for the $3 million, did you get a rating, a credit rating on it? And what did the...
The village rated out at an A-plus.
A-plus, okay. Yeah, so that matters too, because the village is one of the larger taxpayers, you know.
It's one of the four taxing...
Yeah, of within the school district, okay, so that'll factor in as well. So it's likely going to be A-plus, but we will add bond insurance that takes it to AA. And the reason for that, we test it, right? By going above AA, it opens it up to more purchasers that compete to buy your bonds, which then drives the rate lower. So it needs to pay for the cost of the insurance to make it worthwhile, right? Mm-hmm. So depending on different markets, that's a different value. So when we get ready to access the market, we will have it pre-qualified and then use it if rates are, you know, rates with insurance are better than rates without insurance.
I'm so glad I had a precursor course on
it. I'm so glad I have been.
So ultimately, we will pay back when we do the long term. It's going to be 20 years from the time you borrow it. So that's, you know, when we do the 25, lock in the $25 million in 2025, that will go out to 2045. And then when we come back and do the $4 million in 2026, a portion of it's going to be paid off in the first few years, but some amount of that final $4 million, roughly $2 million, is going to go into the 2046 year. So from start to finish, it's a 21 total year repayment. Okay. As I mentioned, the phase one is this $10 million bond anticipation note, which is one of your action items tonight. That closes on December 19th. It gets you the funds into the project account, and then it begins earning investment income right away. And then step two is general obligation promissory notes in early 2025. Generally speaking, it's going to be somewhere in the mid to late January, early February timeframe. It ultimately is when Kelly and I and Sarah can get the paperwork done with the credit rating, the due diligence process. The estimate I have on the next page shows it as a 4.63, but that was, I added 25 basis points from when I created this. As I mentioned, rates have come down in the last week to 2 weeks, so it's actually currently better, significantly better than what I'm showing on the next page. And then, as we discussed, the final phase would be looking into 2026 for that final $4 million. So if we flip to that page, this first box is the bond anticipation note, and you'll see a rate in there at a 3.86. So that is, the bank has agreed to that rate pending your approval. That will be what gets finalized in the documents that are there to sign on December 19th. So this will only be outstanding for about 3 months, because the middle box where it says $23,230,000, that is your second resolution where we are saying not to exceed 25 total million minus anything you make as a payment on this note. So the 10 million has a prepayment provision. You levied as a board in October for payments in 2025. That allows you to make a principal payment of, this will change, but it's roughly $1.5 million. So you're never going to borrow that $1.5 million long term. Which is amazing.
Because we put that in our levy right away. We remember we did two levies. We had the if it didn't pass and if it did. Because we did that, we're like starting the repayment process immediately. So.
Nice. So that saves a lot of interest costs over the repayment period by pre-thinking about that and making that first pay down. So this middle, like I said, is currently showing a 463. 465 there, but the lower right corner is where we'll track how we're doing relative to the estimate, the pre-referendum estimate, which we use a 475 there. Currently, this blended average of these two long-term borrows is 463, which is about 0.12% lower, which is about 90,000 lower. this will, that number will get bigger. The goal between now and locking it in January, February, is to lower that number such that this interest cost avoidance number goes up. Okay? And then if you look at box number three, that's the current hypothetical for the $4 million. So what I was referencing to you earlier, Amy, we have 4 years of early payments and then this one payment out here in 2046, 20 years out. You will likely, if this middle box comes in better, we will likely have another discussion about, you know, do you want this full amount out here in 2046, or do you want to, you likely will have some room to pay it off a little quicker. So, you know, we can talk about that. But ultimately, we need to lock in this first long-term issue before we can fine-tune how that final $4 million looks. Okay. Ultimately, that steps over to a level payment. We factored in some aid loss because you're a negatively aided district, so we're assuming that by these new payments, you're going to hit the maximum amount you could lose each year, which then factors into the total combined costs and mill rate estimate of $1.33. We're currently using growth of 1% in these future years. As you know, you've been growing significantly higher than that. We wanted to model it at something that's a little more sustainable economic growth, as opposed to the recent years of what I think is more inflationary growth, like just our existing value is worth more, right? So we're modeling it at 1% to try and model out that $1.33.
Based on housing development growth.
And that will be helpful. So if you know of something more that's coming in better than this, that'll allow us to maybe make an extra payment on debt, pay it off a little faster, give you more options out in the future, or just avoid more interest costs. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons I try to be conservative with that number. There's a number of reasons to do it, but one is to give you, you know, additional board level flexibility to levy the amount you need and just pay it out the debt. So this this next page is a tentative timeline. We've been working with Kelly and Sarah getting things started and getting paperwork going in preparation for tonight. Pinning your action in the next section, that will set off the closing on December 19th for the $10 million. And then in early January, Kelly and I will be on the rating call, credit rating call, talking about the board practices and policies and procedures, talking about your enrollment trends, your budget to actual trends, your fund balance level. Those are the types of things they care about. So all the things you decide month in and month out that nobody really fully pays attention to, that's right. The time they pay attention to it.
Yeah.
So we'll get that credit rating. And then once that's received and we get the final disclosure document together, you know, we can lock in the 20-year rates, like I said, somewhere mid to late January or maybe early February, depending on how the timing goes. And those funds you would get, the next 15, you would get those. We currently have it scheduled for, it's the first week in March. The key is that it's after March 1. We're showing it as March 4th. That can change if we wanted to, but the key is I want to close that the new 15 after March 1 so that I can go to March 1 of 45. Because you can only go legally in state law, you can only go 20 years from the time you close on a loan. And so that's the rationale of trying to close after March 1 because you make your principal payments March 1 of each year. And then I already walked through this, but the last page is just the details of the bond anticipation note. Huntington Public Capital Corporation is a part of Huntington Bank. They were the lender for this $10 million.
My lender too.
Oh yeah.
There you go. You can make our payment if you want.
Nope.
With yours.
Yeah.
Put them together.
So I said a lot and I talked fast. Any questions, anything that you don't understand, want to talk further about?
So with this, with that, the second part on that, the 25 million, what that does is allows us to not have to do this again in January for that second one. Like that, so we have the first one with the 10 million, the 25 million, as he explained, is making the 10 million long term, as well as the 15. But just so you know, we're not coming back to the board for that 15 because that's what the second action item is. Excuse me. Yeah, just so you guys are clear and you're not expecting another meeting to agree
we'll
to that.
We'll just have to come and sign papers.
Yes, huh? You will have to sign papers.
I was going
to
say.
The president and clerk will be a part. You're basically delegating, the board is delegating them to the president and clerk, the final review of what we bring back.
Yeah.
So there is still board oversight, it's just not another formal.
Yeah. You're doing it tonight, and then they'll just get to come and sign their name a million times.
And if the market goes a different way, and we can't hit those parameters, then we will be back to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not
just to show what those are.
Right. This is positioning you to take advantage of locking in without the next board meeting. But if things go differently, we'll certainly bring it back.
And I did talk to Brian ahead of time that you don't have to read.
I was just going to ask
seven pages and 9 pages. You just have to read the title, which is what's on the.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, okay, wait. Where's that summary? What are we actually reading here?
Even when you have to read those little ones, you don't like it. I thought, ugh.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Can we move now?
Yep.
Any other questions or anything for Brian? Discussion?
All right. Number 6, item scheduled for action A. Resolution authorizing the issuance and sale of a $10 million bond anticipation note pursuant to Section 67.12 sub 1 sub B Wisconsin statutes.
I make a motion to approve.
Motion by Sarah.
I second.
Seconded by Kim. Roll call.
Grandaw?
Yes.
Ide?
Yes.
Heidi Wald, yes. Cherry?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
Hansen?
Yes.
Roman?
Yes.
All right. B. Resolution authorizing the issuance of a portion of and establishing parameters for the sale of not to exceed $25 million general obligation promissory notes.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Lyle.
I'll second.
Seconded by Chris. Roll call.
Grandaw?
Yes.
Ide?
Yes.
Heidi Wald? Yes. Sherry?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
Hansen?
Yes.
Roman?
Yes.
I put down yes before I answered.
All right.
All right.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Motion by Kayla.
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah.
She's learning fast.
Yeah. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. We're adjourned at 7:13.